It's All Talk. I'm Kevin Dietz, coming to you live from Oakland University. We are here for the 25th annual Ted Lindsay Foundation Celebrity Golf Outing, and they are raising money for autism awareness and research. And you can be part of the solution. You go to tedlindsay.org, tedlindsay.org. You can learn all about what the Ted Lindsay Foundation is doing, and you can donate if you would like. It's a great, great cause. This morning, we're looking at a major legal and political development. A federal appeals court has upheld the $83.3 million defamation judgment against President Donald Trump in the case brought by advice columnist E. Jean Carroll. Carroll accused Trump of sexual assault decades ago, and after he denied her claims repeatedly on social media and in public statements, a jury awarded her damages for defamation. The appeals court ruled that the judgment was fair and reasonable, citing what it called the extraordinary and egregious nature of Trump's attacks. It's a big deal because it touches really on the power of words, the responsibility of public figures, and the consequences of unchecked rhetoric. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm great. I wish I was out at the Sharp course with you today, but unfortunately, I have to work.
Ah, it's beautiful out here. It's a great cause, and a ton of celebs.
For
Todd,
sure.
You'd fit right in.
I don't know about that.
This is a big number, $83.3 million. Do you think Donald Trump's going to have to pay this?
As of right now, yes. You know, obviously, he is going to go to the United States Supreme Court. Whether or not they accept it, it's probably, you know, the Supreme Court maybe takes 2 to 5% of the cases, very low, you know, threshold of cases they take. This is probably increased because chances of the Supreme Court looking at it, just because of you know, President Trump being President Trump, it probably increases the chances quite a bit. What's the constitutional question? Whether or not, you know, there is immunity given to the president for statements made, well, at the White House, whether or not those defamation statements, whether or not, you know, they look at Bill Clinton's case, you know, they allowed that to go forward with the Jones matter, if you remember that case, the civil case. So I find it realistically that this, you know, Court of Appeals case is probably going to, you know, be upheld because it's questionable whether or not the United States Supreme Court takes it. They have basically stayed out of this area and declined to get involved in it. Although they did expand governmental, presidential immunity to President Trump in earlier cases, obviously. So 83 million, it looks right now as though it probably will stand, but we'll see. There's been also a motion filed in the Second Circuit by President Trump's lawyers to have the Department of Justice represent him in the Court of Appeals in appeal actions. So that's another interesting part of the saga.
The extraordinary and egregious, how do you get to that threshold?
Punitive damages. Was it punitive here? You know, the question of how much damages were done to you know, this victim, about how he claimed that this is made up, false, after a jury had already awarded her you know, a case of $5 million, you know, for the sexual assault that allegedly took place in a civil case. So, you know, it's really done by experts in trials. When I won, you know, a massive verdict of $106 million in Oakland County Circuit Court, we showed that there was damages that, you know, this person, my five women that I sued for, suffered damages every single day. And there wasn't a Tylenol that could take it away. There wasn't an aspirin that could take it away. The fact of what these girls had to go through. Same thing here. You know, there isn't anything necessarily that is going to cure what this lady is going to go, Miss Carroll is going to go through for the rest of her life. She's going to be known as what happened and known as what President Trump said about her. So that was done by experts coming in front of the jury. Now, mind you, the listeners probably would want to know who decided this case. This case was decided by President, an appointed judge by President Clinton. All the Court of Appeals judges that decided this case were either appointed by President Barack Obama or President Biden. So, you know, is there that slant in it involved? I'm sure listeners would want to know that, you know, this was primarily a panel of judges that we hope and pray always set aside politics and look at the law and apply facts. But we also know that that's not always true, is it?
Was the lower court or was the Court of Appeals looking to see if the lower court made any errors or mistakes, or do they come out and actually say they agree with the findings of the lower court?
Both, right? So was there any error in the trial in and of itself? Did the immunity apply? And was the fees excessive? The Court of Appeals found, to answer those three questions, that there wasn't an error by the court in procedure or evidence or jury instruction. There wasn't an error by the rulings as it relates to governmental immunity. And then they go through and dissect, the findings as it relates to the damages. And they found that the damages were applicable and that there was not an abuse there. So they reviewed this case on three different levels.
It's interesting because it seemed like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or longer, it was really hard to sue anybody who or to have a lawsuit, anyone who was a public figure. E. Jean Carroll, she's an invites columnist. I don't know if she'd rise to public figure or not. I don't know if that even comes up. But even Donald Trump, with the network saying things about Donald Trump, and then he's been able to sue the networks and has been able to get settlements out of the networks. It's interesting because it seemed to me anyway that it was pretty difficult to sue somebody. If someone was a public figure, it seemed like you could almost say anything about them.
No, that's true, except for when they're falsehoods or the truth, you know, the statements are defamatory in and of themselves, false. I think you have to be careful, even more vigilant today than any time. You're absolutely right. Public figures stood in a position where a lot of people could throw stones and walk away from it. But I think as the test goes on and is evolved, you know, to the extent that you can't say lies, you can't defame somebody with complete falsehoods, obviously affecting one's reputation, one's, you know, ability to work, their economic loss, things of that sort. We know plenty of public figures, both in the media and otherwise, that, you know, have had to take, you know, their lumps on the chin in a courtroom for saying defamatory things. And I think as we get more and more into social media and more into, you know, the snaps and clicks and swipes, people have to be careful of what they say, how they say it, and have corroboration for what they're saying. You just can't throw the arrows out there and think you're going to be able to walk away with it.
Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, thanks so much for your expertise. Thanks for coming on this morning. We really appreciate it.
Kevin, I appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy your day. And great
right,
pause
we'll
out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk soon. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Todd pointed out that the lower court and the appeals court both lean left, or at least were appointed by Clinton, by a Democratic president. Will the Supreme Court step in and say, well, let's take a look at all of that? I don't know. They don't take that many cases. If they don't, Donald Trump's going to be on the hook for $83.3 million. It's All Talk. I'm Kevin Dietz.